Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear to God, I will go over the...
You.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. And a happy post-State of the Union address to you, friends.
The state of our union is gross.
It's huge. It's huge. The best. It's
the best union.
Oh, so there was a bingo card that I saw on Instagram, and shortly before the thing started, I texted it to you, Hupke, and... Interestingly, almost every square was knocked off quickly.
Yeah.
First of all, let's say that was one long State of the Union address.
Oh, God, yeah. It was supposed to be, they were saying it was going to be an hour, and then it just dragged and dragged and dragged.
Oh,
and also,
so long.
Can I just say that
Stop
the damn clapping into the microphone.
Into your microphone!
Honestly, there was so much to not be happy about, but that I was just like,
was
oh
so
my
irritating.
God, stop that. Has anybody ever clapped for themselves that much, I wonder?
Nope.
I mean, you know, when the guests stand up, the president claps, you know, that's
normal. If you're pointing to something someone else has done, you'll do that. But everybody in the world who's ever had even 10 minutes of media training knows there are things you don't do in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
Chewing gum is one. Clapping your hands is one.
Yeah.
Having a cough drop in your hand, like in your mouth. Like, there's just some 101 ass things you don't do in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
That is one of them. It was so irritating.
It was my dream, actually, as I was watching it, that the main stories to come out of the State of the Union address would be him clapping.
Powerful clapper.
Powerful clapping into a microphone, and Melania not going with him to the State of the Union. They rode separately to the State of the Union.
Yeah, they did.
And I just knew.
Not surprised by this.
No, and I don't know what precipitated that, whatever, but it just would have been, if that was the key thing that came out of it, he would have been so angry, and that would have made me angry.
So angry. So when I watch the State of the Union, I tend to flip through all the channels. I want to see how it's being presented on different channels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some, I think ABC had some interesting graphics, and, you know, there was, like, okay, there's this, and there was, because here's the thing, with there's like prepared remarks that are kind of released a little beforehand.
Yeah,
so you
sure.
know kind of the gist of what's going to happen. So ABC kind of had this little, like, it sort of gamified it, like, we're on this part.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the part mentioning this, and then the little red thing advanced to the next thing. NBC didn't have that going on. Univision had, this was possibly my favorite broadcast thing. The voice used in, like, you could hear Trump's voice in English saying it, and then there was a voice in Spanish saying it kind of on top and a couple seconds behind what he was doing. That voice had so much gravitas. It was like the Spanish speaking James Earl Jones was the translator for that. It felt like, I'm sure it was totally unintentional, like that's who the guy that was available that night and you know, a trusted person to handle a State of the Union. But it kind of felt like a trolling. Because of the, like, defensiveness around emasculation just over his, like, stupid hands early on, it felt like, oh, we're going to show you. I mean, because it was this very deep voice, and it had, like, a lot of power in it.
Right.
And a lot of, as I said, gravitas, but also quite a bit of flair in the voice. Like, not like a soccer game football announcer, but, like, more like in a telenovela.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so...
Yeah.
There was like a lot of drama and power in this voice it was mesmerizing. I could not change the channel for the longest time because I was like, this voice is so fascinating just to listen to. I mean, I'm trying to be a better Spanish speaker anyway, so I'm challenging myself to listen to more things in Spanish, and news is a good one because you kind of know the gist and you can, you know, fill in some blanks. But nonetheless, I was like, I am mesmerized by this very masculine voice, like this very, very, like, deep and powerful voice.
Especially compared to, because honestly, he's not a great orator under any circumstances, but, you know, he was pretty, and I thought he did, look, as far as delivering a speech goes and not, you know, not crapping his pants or falling over or whatever, he did a perfectly fine job.
Although he was a more monotone Trump than we often see.
Yeah, right. He was not very animated and he was seemed bored at times and stuff, which he probably was. So, yeah, so the contrast must have been funny.
Hilarious.
Because it's like droopy and
was
then,
so good.
You know, powerful voice guy.
Three cheers for Univision on that one.
Animal Planet just had a donkey chewing a caramel that was the whole time. That was
well, at one point, somebody that I follow tweeted, Chopped is on, and I just retweeted that, and then people just were piling onto his tweet with like Flintstones is on, yeah. Barney Miller's on, like anything but this is on, which, yeah. You know, it is, I mean, you know, you and I are both in an interesting spot, right? Because it, like, personally, I didn't want to, I knew I was going to get mad, I was like, I don't even want to hear, but I know I need to, because yeah, I want to be able to talk about it intelligently, and I also want to be on top of this topic, and, you know, I feel like it is my obligation as a citizen to do so. But, you know, personally, I was like, I want to watch Masterpiece.
Yeah.
And just put on my jammies and, you know, not, I need my historical dramas, not this. But there it was. I watched. I took notes. I yelled at my television a couple of times. I was out of ice cream, so I had to aggressively eat. Stress eat olives and cottage cheese, which is way less effective.
Yeah, you have to be under a lot of stress to eat that.
I was like, I need something. And I was like out of everything. So it's like olives and cottage cheese. Good times. You know, I mean, there's so many pieces of this I want to pick apart of the State of the Union. You know, there's always the invited guests in the gallery. That's mm-hmm. that's always a thing. That's always a tradition. Oh, boy. I mean, there's some degree of emotion you lend that person mm-hmm. when you're describing, like, because it's usually a tragic thing or something emotional, tragic or heroic thing that lands you a seat in the gallery.
Right. I don't know. And I don't know this for sure. I personally don't recall having this many tragic.
Right.
I mean, usually more heroic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or somehow uplifting. This was like, you know, murdered.
Yeah.
You know, murdered. Killed. Like, I found it, you know, some I heard people afterwards saying that they thought he used those
I
people
felt
effectively.
I don't disagree. Yeah, no, not yeah. effectively. I used is the word I was going to
oh,
underscore.
Yeah. No. But they thought that, like, the way he, you know, in terms of just sort of in a vacuum, I guess, of in terms of utilizing them to make a point, he did. The point I found to be disgusting.
I found it quite racist and xenophobic.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, I mean,
and so, exploitative.
But every president does that. I think every yeah. president is sort of exploiting the people that they bring one way
Certainly.
Or the other.
It's usually a little more subtle.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And in this case, it was just for. I mean, just I found it very hard to watch, especially the family of who lost their kids to the MS-13 gangs.
Yeah.
Violence because they were just distraught and right. understandably
sure
and
who,
you know
who, what parent would not be
right.
in that setting
but I
think there's a, you know, gawking that occurs at some point.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
that I was sitting there thinking, like, what would that feel like? I don't know. I've not walked a mile in their shoes. I don't know, but I don't know. I would just think, like, very exploited by it. I would feel very conspicuous. I also think grief is a fairly private thing.
Right.
You know, and then the other family of the student who came back injured and eventually died after being in North Korea. You know, that family too. I mean, at one point the mom turned around and you could tell she was just kind of taking it all in, like, huh, look at all this. Like, you could kind of see it on her, like, ooh, this is a lot.
Right. And these were, I mean, look, the MS-13 gang issue is, I mean, that's a very, it's horrible what happened, and it has, and it is a, it's a horribly violent gang, there's no question about that, but it also is not running rampant throughout the United States at all. I mean, you know, we have more problems here in Chicago with our own gangs than MS-13 does all over, so it was an odd thing to bring up, especially in a year where you had, you know, so many people killed in shootings, you know, at, like,
perpetrated by white men,
right? Exactly.
Primarily.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, it was purely intended to basically lump all immigrants at, describe all immigrants as being somehow violent, murderous gang members. And it was, and that's what really disgusted me. And I don't, I mean, look, I'm not going to say anything about the family that, you know, I in that situation, whatever gives them peace, whatever they want to do. And I can only imagine the rage that they must feel and the frustration because of that gang, because of what happened to them. But same with the North Korea situation. I mean, yes, that is horrible, and that
right.
paints a picture of North Korea as a bad place, but we know it's a bad place, and that was a very, I mean, what, how many people are we talking about that
right.
are captured in North Korea and held for years? So it was all to his end. It had nothing to do with those people's grief.
No,
right?
No.
It had everything to do with him trying to promote something.
And there's a way that you, I don't know. There's a human element that was just very missing from that. Like
yeah.
other presidents have pointed to people that have experienced significant tragedy in their lives, and they've done so with, I don't know if it's real or not, but at least the appearance of compassion. And
yeah.
that really didn't seem to be the case. The most compassionate remark, compassion is not the right word, the most emotional towards another human being remark, I think, perhaps all night, was talking about the people employed under ICE and Border Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, they're the best people. The best people. Like, he really, that was the only, I was like, you're showing emotion there.
Right.
You know, like, that's
yeah.
where,
and I'm sure there are, you know, good people, but there's also plenty of stories of ICE really overstepping, especially now that they kind of have the, you know, administration fully behind them to kick as many people out as they can get their hands on. So,
there were many flaws.
There were
as
many
with any, as I mean, with any. That's what you. That's this is what we do after a State of the Union. You analyze it, no matter who the president is. You analyze it, as well as like when we're done with this. I have comments about Kennedy's Democratic response speech as well, because
mm-hmm.
I think it had many flaws to it.
Yeah.
However, this one, there was, you know, it was interesting, too, to watch The Room.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Definite divide.
Clear divide.
I picked up on a real disagreement going on in The Room.
I would, however, like to zero in on one person in particular, because it was brought up today. And that is Nancy Pelosi, who yeah. looked very irritated the whole time.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I would do much differently
yeah.
in her shoes. I would also be sitting there with great contempt looking like I can't blame her.
Yeah.
And so Sarah Huckabee Sanders
mm-hmm.
Huckabee wasn't going to come out of my mouth. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, the smiling thing, like women know better.
Yeah.
Than to tell each other to smile.
Yeah,
I don't have her exact quote in front of me.
Yeah, she basically, this morning she said, well, Nancy, it wouldn't hurt her to smile a little bit.
It wouldn't
bit
hurt.
More.
Yeah, she didn't say she needed yeah. to, but yeah, it wouldn't yeah. hurt her.
And I'm like, that really struck me. I saw that and I was like, boy, you don't hear a lot of women telling other women to do that.
Because that's the one thing we can all agree on.
Right.
Like, it's exhausting when a man walks by and says, smile, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Suck it, dude.
Yeah.
And that's a weirdly loaded statement, because there's nothing you can say. Literally nothing
mm-hmm.
that will not get further stuff happening.
Yeah. That's weird. But who knows? And you know,
not that Sarah Huckabee Sanders
yeah.
is like a trusted women's champion by
Sorry,
any means.
Garbage. That whole family's garbage, man. I you know, I've had it with the Huckabees.
Just
and
now?
And they're no, I mean,
okay.
I've had it, but I mean, just everyone, they're, you know, this is a complete aside, but you know, the brother apparently killed a dog at
yeah.
some point.
Yeah.
Dog murderer. So that's how you get blocked. I haven't managed to get blocked yet by Huckabee, but almost everybody gets, as soon as they bring up the dog, they get blocked. So a friend of mine on Twitter, who's a brilliant artist, drew a ghost dog. And so now every time Huckabee tweets, he responds with the picture of the ghost dog, and he's encouraging everybody else to do the same.
Oh,
and
dear.
It's fantastic.
Poor
so
dog.
Anyway, but yeah, screw them. I can't. They're just, and she's, you know, I mean, she's a soulless liar. You know, I'm sorry, but just that, like, you could tell. I think we brought this up once before. You could tell with Sean Spicer that he was lying, but it made him uncomfortable.
He hated it.
She
miserable.
Doesn't give
she
a shit.
Care.
Man.
She doesn't care.
She just lies.
You can tell.
I mean, just it's so, and that. I find that so, it's like with Trump, really, it's just troubling. You know, it's so scary to see somebody who's that good at that, or that, not good, but that effortless at just being like, you know. Sorry about the tangent there.
But. No, this is a tangent-prone show. That's what we do here.
Yeah, we do.
It's our thing.
Could call it that.
Sort of our thing.
Yeah.
We should have a tagline.
Yeah.
They're tangent-prone.
Yes.
But really, what we saw a lot of last night was, not that I'm surprised because hashtag capitalism, but we saw a lot of cheering over dollars over people.
I got mine, Jack.
Yeah. I mean, that was really, you know, the some moments of beyond just clapping, but like wooing and cheering and yelling over, like, and the individual mandate, people were like, yeah!
That,
like,
that made me, that turned my stomach.
Yeah, me too. That was like uncomfortable to see.
Yeah, to see a large group of predominantly
human beings.
Yeah, predominantly wealthy.
Yes.
Predominantly male, predominantly almost entirely white people stand up and cheer for the removal of the individual mandate, which is going to cause, I think it's in the neighborhood of 3 million people to lose their health insurance at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're cheering. I mean, come on. Look, I understand.
Is there something like broken with that narrative? Do people not understand? Like, on one end of that, there's a conversation about money. On the other end of that, there's a conversation about access to health care.
Right.
Where is that disconnect where that conversation goes so awry?
I mean, nobody's. This is the problem, I think, is that nobody thinks through any of this. You know, people have been demagogued so much into hating Obamacare. So that is just, we got rid of the individual. We hurt Obamacare. Yay.
Yeah.
There is no connection to the fact.
Even the way he said it, was it that particular thing? There was something in particular that he said that was like a straight, like a very overt dig at Obama.
Yeah, that was
there
it.
Were some subtle ones, but I think that was the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There were like two.
The horrible,
two,
disastrous Obamacare.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? I understand policy differences, and you want to have a policy difference on how to handle health care, fine. You don't cheer something that is going to uproot a bunch of people from their health coverage, and especially when you have not come up with an alternative plan to fix that, which they haven't at all. And there was no discussion of policy in most of what he said last night, but certainly not when it came to health care. So that was a sickening thing, and I think it really did hit on that, you know, that haves and have-nots. And unfortunately, the haves, especially on the Republican side, have done a masterful job of conning a lot of the have-nots who support them into not realizing what the hell they're,
agreed.
You know, I mean, they're rooting against themselves, basically. Because I envisioned, like, all these people at home watching and cheering from the couch about that, too. And they're going to find out down the line here that they... they're one of the 3 million people who no longer has health insurance or something. Mm-hmm. And so it's so...
There's another moment that I thought was very snobbish is when he was talking about, you know, there were several points he made connected to tax cuts and immediate savings and this. In particular, he called out the number $4,000.
Yeah.
And he said, that is a lot of money. And the way he did it, it just smacked of this... Because he said, I believe he said it twice. That is a lot of money. A lot of money. Like, to you, we know that is not a lot of money.
Right.
You being Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because you have a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
And so it felt so insulting and condescending.
Yeah.
I almost had, you know that when you're like so mad, you feel like, I don't know, maybe this is just me being weird, but sometimes like I'm so pissed off. It's not crying. It's just like, water just like shoots out of your eyeballs straight ahead because you're like, I will, like I want to break a chair right now. Like, so it was so insulting
that
to
that
me.
That does sound awesome though. I wish I
it
could.
It is awesome. Sometimes I just go like, oh my God, and I get so mad. It's just like one of my eyeballs will just shoot a little drop of water straight out at my glasses lens. It's pretty great.
Wow. That's
it's
badass,
real
man.
Sweet. But I got to be mad. And I was deeply offended by that one because it was like, it's first of all, like, of course you're putting your veneer on it, like anyone would. Mm-hmm. Every president has done that. But also, it was like, it just seemed. You know what? It sounded like you should be grateful to me.
Exactly.
It was such a power move. It was such a snobbish, arrogant, power thing. It insulted me so much. Like, you don't know shit about my life. I got so mad. You don't know shit about my life or anybody else's. You have had privilege and power and money your whole stupid life. Do not pretend to talk to me about a time in which I should be so grateful to you for some kind of tax cut. Don't tell me to be grateful. It was that. I was like, oh, I'm going to have a rage tear shoot straight out of my eye. There it is. Boom. And I was like, it was that. It was like, you should be grateful to me. And I'm like, don't even give me a drop of that shit.
And also factually incorrect as well. I mean,
that detail. I mean, yeah.
It is possible that somebody's going to get $4,000, but
not
Right. Yeah, in general, the average is maybe $1,000.
Maybe.
You know, it depends on individual people.
It depends.
But it ain't going to all be $4,000 on the nose. And that's the thing, too, is come tax time.
Oh, God.
People are in for a real.
They're
going to be like, what the?
This is the last time you were going to do your taxes under this archaic, complicated, whatever you call it. On its system, and I was like, oh man,
yeah,
you don't even know.
Yeah,
people are gonna be like, yeah, that's right, it's gonna be awesome, and I'm gonna start seeing this on my paycheck in the next month. He said, great. Oh, just wait for that shoe to drop. People are gonna be so mad.
Also, promoting the bonuses that people are getting, which I forget who reported this just yesterday, they did an analysis of that, and roughly 2-3% of workers have gotten some kind of a bonus relating to the tax thing. So everybody, including me, I'm getting emails from people like, wow, but look at blah, blah, blah is getting a bonus. And I'm like, yeah, are you getting a bonus?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I ain't getting a bonus. Right. You getting a bonus?
Yeah.
Nope.
So this is all, I mean, I think they have way oversold this. And again, that's that. And I think you're spot on. It's so arrogant, but it's a very much like, let's keep the peasants happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just, that ran all through this damn thing last night because, first of all, he has nothing that to go. The only thing he has to go on is related to the economy.
Yeah.
And of course, he paints it as all his doing when in fact everything tracks. And also, much of what he said was false, too. I mean, he talks about job creation was down last year over the previous year. So he's not, you know. I mean, good things are happening in the economy, no question.
But they have been tracking.
Right, they've been tracking in that direction for,
long before he
showed
up.
Yeah, for several years. So I don't have any doubt. I will say, I mean, look, I know businesses are happy about him in general because he's cutting their taxes, he's doing away with regulations. So there's no question that he's having a positive impact on the economy from in terms of the corporations. How that translates to the worker, individual workers and regular people, we'll see, but I don't, the general sense is not that it's going to be like, woo. And even last night, too. And this is one of the things that makes me the most angry because it is so cruel. He said something about how factories are going to be popping up all over the country now. They are not. And if they do, they are not going to be hiring people in the way they used to because it's automated. And so that is so damn mean because you are hamstringing people who need
and
to get
really
out.
Giving people false hope.
Yes, that exactly.
You don't need to shift your skill set or develop them or change them to adapt to a more automated economy. I'm coming for you. It's okay. No.
Get your ass out now and start learning some new skills because you're not. Those factory jobs are not coming back. And if they do come, the places where they do come back, they're not coming back the same way. And to tell people otherwise is so awful because you're literally, you know,
your check's in the mailing someone
right
to a terrible extent,
yeah, and you're costing them years potentially in which they could be and also years in which by the time they finally get their ass in gear and realize that this isn't happening, it may be too late in terms of hopping into the sort of newer economy because people will have already gotten there before them. So I think at the end of the day, and you kind of look at the whole con job that so much of this is, and I think at the end of the day, like, you know, X number of years from now when it's looked back on, I think the anger and frustration from the people who have been lied to is going to be really, really something, because I think they're going to realize just how much they got shafted by all these guys who stood up and applauded. Great.
Oh. I mean, when in the history of ever has a person in significant power who is part of a dominant social structure really not protected their own interests and helped people of lower classes. No, yeah. That's like not a, no, that's not really a thing that happens.
Yeah.
There's always, it's, you know, the more, and the more he talks about, you know, it's so insulting to hear him talk so much about these, oh, blue collar job, this, da, 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 this coming back, that, like, take it a step further, everybody. Like, don't forget that it is workers that make bosses wealthy. Mm-hmm. And like that part never, you know, that's so frustrating that people are like, yeah, okay, yeah, this guy's going to take care of me. I trust this boss. I trust this leader. Give me a break.
Yeah.
That's not what occurs in this system as it is set up.
You know, another, I don't know if you picked up on this, and this is probably me being too, I sound.
Own your feelings, Hupke.
Yeah. I sound kind of perhaps a little overly liberal with this, maybe, but so the company he singled out a family owned company from Ohio,
right,
and then the
with
owner,
the welder,
yeah, the yeah. owner's there. So it's a white guy owner,
right?
African American worker, and yes. It was all set up so that the, you know, the basically the black guy should be so appreciative to the.
That's
white,
what I'm saying. There
the
was so much of
and
like,
and
you. Who are not white men in power,
right.
Be so grateful to us here holding the power at the top. That was the theme throughout the whole thing.
Perhaps I'm overthinking that. I acknowledge that. But at the same time, it shows what little thought is put into things like that. I mean, I think any in a competent administration, somebody might have spotted that and said, is this,
that may not
what
play
message
right.
are we sending
yeah,
here?
Right.
Maybe we should find, and I'm sure there are, an African-American business owner, you know? And then, you know what I mean? Like, just
there's a memoir all about a woman who spent a year only shopping at
right.
black-owned businesses.
Yeah,
like,
right.
not, yeah, that's
so,
a thing.
Yeah, so that...
Lots of people own businesses.
And again, I'm watching for racism, and I'm watching for all this stuff because I can't stand the guy, and I think he's a racist, and whatever, I understand that. But that way, I saw that, and I kind of squirmed a little bit because I was like, really? You got the white, sort of dopey Ohio
yeah.
white
worse,
guy?
I think the worker himself squirmed.
Yeah, I wondered.
He looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt bad for that guy. I was like, I feel like it kind of like, oh boy.
Right. And
you
was
kind of see this look on his face like, dude.
And I'd like to know the backstory too, because like, was the guy like, yeah, sweet, I'll do that? Or was the owner like, hey, would you do this? And then the guy feels like, oh shit, what do I say? No to my boss? I got to go.
I guarantee you it was that.
Yeah, so.
Who's in a position to turn their boss down for
right.
shit like that?
Yeah.
Right? No. And I thought it was so patronizing the way he was like, and I'm told he's a good welder.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't give me that crap.
Yeah.
The other moment I thought was fascinating was the casualness with which he can lie and fib. And that was about DJ CJ.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So the prepared remarks had indication of CJ, and he said, I can call him.
This was the soldier, I think.
The soldier, right?
Yeah,
right.
Who had saved. He did something very.
Or was that the ice guy?
It was either. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think.
I should have taken better notes.
I think it was
screaming.
I think it was a soldier who had rescued other soldiers, and you know, something like that. Or was it a fire?
Like,
oh no! It might have been a first responder.
I feel like it was the ice dude.
Okay, maybe it was the ice.
Anyway,
sorry,
whatever.
Whatever.
There was a dude in the gallery.
Apologies to CJ.
I know. We're sorry, CJ. We will, like, tweet us. We'll set the record straight here. But the prepared remarks indicated he was going to say, he goes by CJ. He said, we can call him CJ. But he messed it up and said DJ.
Yeah.
And then lied.
Yeah, right.
And said, or CJ. He said we can call him either one.
Like, no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Who the fuck does that?
Who?
My name's Rex, but you can call me Don if you'd like.
I mean, my name is Amy. I sometimes, you know, if you wanted to call me like Rebecca, that's fine. I don't care. I'll answer anything. Literally, I'm just glad you're speaking to me. No.
Especially with an initial name. It's like, I go by CJ, but you can call me by any random two letters.
And here's the thing. It would have been like very human and fine to be like, DJ,
sure.
Pardon me, CJ, not DJ, and just keep going.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You like went out of your way to lie because you're an incompetent, defensive, strange little man.
And you know, yes.
You go. Being Trump, not you, Hupke.
No, I know.
Okay.
Although I'm, yes.
Although
I'm
you are those things, too.
I'm a strange little man, too. he has had so many, there have been so many opportunities for this guy to...
just be a human being.
Right, exactly. And you know what he had to, what if he had, It never happened. I know these are all hypotheticals, but what if during the speech last night he had said, you know what, I've made some mistakes this past year. I'm not a politician, and I've offended some people, and I'm in the, you know, as we move along here, I'm going to try to do better. What if he had done that? I mean, honestly, like, as much as I dislike him, as much as I would have called bullshit on that anyway.
Sure.
Still, you would have to acknowledge that, right? I mean, you would have to be like, well,
I would be like, he's bullshitting us. Well, but don't fall for it. It's a trap.
But still, some people anyway, that would have hit some people.
Some people would have been like, okay, let's give him a chance.
Right.
Some people would have thought that.
Yeah. So, and it would have been the right thing to do. I mean, God, the guy has fucked up 80 million ways to Sunday.
Literally everything.
Yeah.
He
like
has
everything
done.
He has done has been just so ham handed. It's been such a mess.
Literally everything he's done.
And look, if this country is nothing, if it's nothing, it's this country is very forgetful. Words are hard.
Just because you put a kitten in the oven doesn't make it a biscuit. You're like the Ross Perot of podcasting.
Kitten biscuits.
Ross Perot of podcasts.
I really am. Anyway, but no, this country is very forgiving. You know, this country, and I'm not saying anybody's forgiven Trump.
Not necessarily always in a good way.
Right. But I'm not making an argument for that. But I'm just saying, though, that the complete unwillingness and inability to even try that is just so pathetic. And it is so sickeningly self-centered. I mean, it just, you know, like the guy is just not capable of apologizing or admitting fault or anything. And you're right. The CJDJ thing was a perfect example. Christ, I mean, anybody could have done that. Talk about a high-pressure speech. Good Lord. I mean, I would make 80 million mistakes in that. So you make a mistake, oh, man, sorry, whatever. It would have made him human for half a second.
Right.
And instead of, an orange turd. So, I just don't get that. I don't understand that level of narcissism.
And we're not going to.
No, I know.
Because we're not, you know.
Because
yeah.
It isn't
going to
happen. It's just never going to happen. The guy is never going to do anything.
And as long as he's surrounded by people that are part of the, you know, dominant power structure and have a lot of money and benefit
right.
from workers and, you know, that's like, I'm sure he's quite surrounded by yes men.
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, that's all that would work. I mean, nothing else would function with him. And, you know, for the pure, like, greed and self-gain of this whole thing, and again, this sort of gaping economic differential that exists between people like the lawmakers we saw last night standing and cheering and most people in the country, they were able to sit there and act like the Russia investigation, all of the various vulgarities and atrocities that he has, not atrocities, but you know, the things that he has done over the course of the past year. They were able to act as if none of that ever happened. They were able to stand there and act as if this is a perfectly normal president before them, and they're standing up and they're cheering and they're hooting and hollering and applauding. And I just found that absolutely detestable. I mean, talk about complicit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, the day before the State of the Union speech, he was supposed to enact sanctions against Russia based on a congressional mandate that was passed almost unanimously to punish Russia for interfering in our elections. He did nothing. The day before, in the midst of a sprawling investigation into Russia with people who are already indicted, other people who are cooperating, you know, just nonstop signs of attempts to obstruct this investigation, and he does nothing, and those people sit there and they applaud because their pocketbooks are getting lined.
Well, that's the way, and that's the system we're living in.
Yeah, I guess so.
On that same note, speaking of people in power letting money speak for human beings, this morning, the CDC director, Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald, resigned after Politico reported that after taking that role as director of the CDC, she purchased tobacco stock. You are the director of the CDC, and you did not think that one through. Girl.
The best people.
What are you doing? First of all, don't buy tobacco stock.
Yeah.
Don't do that, just generally.
Right.
Quit smoking. But also, Why would you do? On what planet do you think you can get away with that? It's this brazen, I'm above it. I know what the rules are. They don't really totally apply to me. I can kind of get out of them. It's that.
Right. That's, and it's pervasive.
It is so pervasive. Yeah. It is so pervasive that it's sickening.
I mean, look at how many people have had to step down or step aside, or, you know, not just top people, but like underlings and stuff who've, you know, stuff has come out.
Oh, we're just getting started. Yeah. We're just getting started with that.
Because, yeah, the people that they're bringing in think this is a, it's like a motley crew of people who operate above any regulations, rules, anything. And she, I mean, that's a great example. That is not a, I mean, that's a big role.
That's a huge role. And here we are in the middle of one of the worst flu epidemics in nearly a decade in this country.
Yeah.
And we do not have a director of the CDC.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Sounds like a great plan. What could possibly go wrong with that that will result in like a Jurassic Park level movie of terrible things befalling us? But it's fine because, you know, I'm sure North Korea, according to Nostradamus anyway, North Korea is going to take care of us anytime, any minute.
Yeah.
But also on Sunday, there's an asteroid. Did you read about this?
No.
There's like an asteroid that's going to fly mighty close to the Earth during the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
At 76,000 miles per hour. Going to be... it is potentially hazardous. It is not set to strike the Earth. The, you know, pattern and trajectory has been charted for like 11 years or something. So people are feeling very confident. It's not going to actually collide with the Earth, but it's going to get mighty close to us. Wow. So that's a thing. So like, you know, maybe, you know, it's we're going to get a mulligan on this whole Big Bang theory anyway. But I do, before we hang it up, I do want to also talk about the Democratic response speech done by Kennedy, little Joseph Kennedy III. Immediately, Twitter blew up with like, wait, draw me the family tree. How's he? Who's he? The da-da-da-da. And it was like as if... commentary, and I don't remember what channel I was on right then because I was flipping channels, but right on cue, it was as if the commentator was looking at Twitter because right on cue was like, grandson of Bobby and Ethel, like right away. Anyway, you know what's interesting is I was sitting there listening to his speech and I was like, he's got a good speech writer.
Mm-hmm.
He said all the things he needed to say, that he wanted to say, like all the things he should have said. That speech, like history, no doubt will think very favorably on that speech.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was impassioned, it was beautiful. But I kept looking at it, looking at him and going like, I feel like I'm watching an actor play a politician.
Yeah.
It like he worked a little too hard at his genuineness.
Well,
like he almost knocked himself out being earnest.
Yeah. And the setting was pretty damn funny too.
Oh my God.
Somebody tweeted this was honestly the only part of the night that I found extremely amusing was somebody tweeted a picture, a still shot from Greece where like they're like all like John Travolta and like whatever the
with the cars.
Yeah, they got the cars in the background and they're like, who decided this set? And it's like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. I'm like, yeah, the Kennedys are often found hanging out in garages working on cars. I was like, come on. That was just fucking stupid. But
right. It was like quite, it was overly staged.
Very contrived.
Just be in front of just be at a podium with a curtain behind you like everybody else in the world.
And also, and you know, yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, good job. I thought generally little.
I mean, like, I say like
he, they rubbed chapstick on his face or something.
I know, like on the edges.
Yeah, he looked
like
real
the corners of his mouth. He had something going on there, like he had like just drank water and spilled it down the sides of his mouth. Yeah, something was going on there. But I don't know that I want to say it was a good speech. I think like that was a speech that was like I think easy for a lot of people to feel good about. I don't think it was a bad speech. I think it was like well written, but also it was like it felt a little bit like kind of eye roll ish.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like, come on, give us more than talk.
Yeah, like cue the dramatic music.
Yeah, and it was like, because Americans, we are da da da. Cue the music with the French horns and the inspiring shit in it. Go! Like a little of that that was like, you know what? Roll up your sleeves and get out here and do some work and help people. And also, you know, you're a Kennedy and you too are a person in great power that like it or not, you're going to carry the yoke of elitism because you are a Kennedy.
Yeah. I the thing that struck me most, aside from the sort of a little bit of schmaltziness of the whole thing, was I just don't know that having trotting out a white guy, much less a white Kennedy.
Right.
Well, not that there's other, you know what I mean.
Those Puerto Rican Kennedys.
Puerto Rican, exactly.
Right.
Was that just didn't feel very in the moment, I guess.
No.
You know, like, how about, is there maybe a woman and maybe, you know, or I don't know, some diversity we could mix in here and not a legacy person? Like, I just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like, oh, we'll show you all you white men from that were standing up in the chamber. We're going to trot out another powerful white man, and he's younger, and I bet his hands are bigger than yours, in your face. Like, it just, it seemed like such I agree. It seemed like a strange power move. It's like, you know what? There's no shortage of women of color who could have done a much better and more genuine job with us.
They should have just, the response should have just been, I don't know if you saw Cory Booker's look during the, they cut to Cory Booker at one point during and he just was like shooting lasers out of his eyes, it looked like. It was just like this really, and they should have just had him come out and do that for 5 minutes. Like, no words, just sort of stare into the camera.
Fine.
Because I would be like, okay.
It would have worked for me.
That was effective.
That would have been fine.
Yeah. And also there were like four other Democrats. You know, Bernie, of course, had to blather off. I've had it with that dude, but
I didn't hear his comment.
I didn't pay much attention to it either, but I'm just like, you know,
I just
what?
Saw him looking very rumpled and uncomfortable in the gallery.
It's time for him to go away. But if people can tell Hillary that she has to go away, I can definitely tell Bernie he has to go away.
Interesting. I had no idea you had this Bernie contempt. We got to talk about Bernie more.
Yeah, I've never liked Bernie.
Okay, well, we have 8 minutes left, so we can't talk about Bernie today. But next time, we're going to talk about Bernie.
So, but yeah, I just...
Who am I kidding? We're going to talk about something else because...
Yeah,
because 87 million
other things will have happened.
Befall us.
But yeah, I think that that was fine. But again, people are so damn mad. People know what's up. And
that's the thing. It was like, it was fine, but it was also like, I'm not stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you, Kennedy, come out here and tell me the importance of wokeness.
Right.
Please spare me with that.
Yeah.
Get your ass out here and help people do some work and make some change, because you're like, I just feel like he was like, how can I speak to the widest swath of people and say things that of course we're all going to agree with?
Yeah.
I mean, it was things that I think even moderate Republicans could agree with. It was like very peace and love, very little like structural disassembly, burn it down, time for a defenestration.
Yeah.
Just kidding about that, kind of. But like very, very, very little like strategy and a lot of loveliness.
I don't know. Honestly, I'd like to know how much of that was him, to be honest with you, because I've seen him do some, I've seen him give some speeches in the, actually, you know, in Congress that seemed a lot more, there's been times when I've seen him speaking and doing stuff where I was like, okay, this guy's really spot. I mean, you know, and seemed very authentic and not sort of staged, whereas this was immensely staged. So I wonder how much like the DNC had to do with this and you know, all that.
Sure, quite a bit. Well, but if you think about it, if you were the political strategist right in that moment, it was like, okay, a lot of people are going to be super pissed off, including moderate Republicans, are going to be super pissed off after this State of the Union that was essentially throwing gobs of red meat at the base. So what can we do to counter hate? Love, friends. Let's say like a bunch of lovey things and inclusive things, which I'm not saying is wrong, saying we should do, but that has got to be powered by action.
Right.
You know, I'm so done with like, well, we just need to listen to each other. Let's have dialogue. Fuck you and your dialogue. Yeah. We are so past dialogue. We are about, it is time for action and change and not dialogue.
Yeah, some of that might be, you know, again, if the DNC and the sort of bigger Democratic Party, which I assume is very involved in the whole response, you know, there may be an effort there to try to cater to, like you're saying, moderate Republicans.
I'm sure.
Stuff,
no, I'm sure.
Which is maybe why they trot out the white guy with the Kennedy name and all that stuff, which is very cynical. And I think also, I go back and forth on this because I do, and I'm not going to talk about this, but that's one of the reasons I didn't like Bernie, because Bernie's too far left, I think, for this country. And I think that's a problem.
Wait, now, say more about that. You mean, you believe he's, because those could be like four different things. There's, you believe he's too far left to align with you. There's too far left for this country right now, and the country needs to catch up.
The country,
or there's
that
one.
Yeah,
okay.
The country needs to catch up. And I don't think it's there yet. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that we have wound up with Donald Trump in the damn White House. But my point is that I go back and forth at this juncture. I'm, you know, so obviously, I mean, I agree with most of what Bernie wants mm-hmm. personally. But yeah. I just think that there are not enough people there yet who agree.
I don't think at the time, but I think now, fast forward a year and change since the election, I think there's a lot more organizing done. I think at campaign time, I don't think there was enough boots on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Community organizing happening, and I think that's changed drastically.
Yes, I do agree with that. So that's what, and that was what I was getting at, is that there's one side of me that's like, well, yeah, I think we do need to kind of keep it a little centrist, you know, in order to bring everybody in. But then there's the other part of me that's like, screw that. I think we have enough power, you know, on this side to get it done and really shoot for the moon. And the thing that I always kind of compare it to is the way that the LGBT community handled the push for marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
I hold out as an absolutely brilliant and ideal way of creating change, which is they were methodical, they were patient, they took the wins where they could get it. They first went for civil unions, and then they, even though they wanted marriage, but they went, you know, went, and I'm speaking they that very broadly here, but just in the interest of time, and then they got civil unions, and then the activists and organizers, then they started pushing for marriage, and they took down states where they could get it, and boom, 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 and pretty soon you had it. And also you had it in a way that by the time marriage equality became the law of the land, you had people were largely comfortable with it. You know, they had changed hearts and minds, basically, to use a cliche, along the way. And I've always thought, because I really reported that whole sort of journey, and to me it was genius, you know. And it took a lot of patience, but they got there, you know. And so, anyway, so that's why at times I feel like, okay, I want all these things I want, you know, healthcare for everybody, and I want, you know, all that stuff, but we may have, it may take some time. You're right. Maybe by the next election, we're there and we're good. We're certainly closer than we were the last time around. But if Bernie had actually been the candidate last time around, I think he would have gotten murdered. Not murdered, literally. I mean, murdered voting wise. So,
well, I mean, I think there's always that tug of war as to political ideologies, right?
Of
let's play the long game,
right?
Versus
we want it now.
Versus there is. I think there's a balance, though, because you can play the long game and sometimes get walked all over, which is what I believe occurred in this last election.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people like, we're playing the long game here, and we're just buying your time. We're gonna have dialogue. Like, yeah, good job with that. Whereas I think there's also times that bold moves are necessary.
Yeah. I think we're more in that time now.
The bold move time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I still don't think the bold moves would have worked any better in the last election, because I just don't think there was too much of a backlash. You know, among the sort of, well, among Trump voters, basically, the people that wound up voting for him, I think they would have been even more put off by someone more liberal than Hillary and whatever, so...
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But, yeah.
But so.
But hey, what do I know?
Hey, what do we know?
I haven't been right about anything in 2 years. So.
No, there was the one thing. What was it? There was the one thing that you were right. And I was like, oh, it's a thing. Finally, right about something. I don't remember now.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, yeah, so lots of stuff. And I would say New York Times has a very good issue-by-issue fact check that is very informative.
Oh.
That's really good. PolitiFact was live fact-checking last night, and also crashed.
Right?
Yeah, because everybody went to it.
That's about the most, like, the Trump-era thing that could happen.
Oh, definitely. You know, cool. Definitely. But they have other materials today. CNN has an interactive tool where you can look at the facts if you're curious about what was accurate and what was not. There's a lot of gray area where it's like, take a piece of the truth.
Right.
And I think the New York Times, that was probably my favorite piece. They had different reporters on different issues. So they broke it down. It's like mini articles mm-hmm. about each topic. And then they kind of say, here's why we're saying yes or no on this. And here's what he said here is accurate, but he doesn't mention this context, or, you know, they do a thoughtful job with it, I thought.
If you want a quick synopsis, though, I'm just going to go with false.
The TLDR here is nope.
Yeah. Nope, 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 or nopes.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, let us, we're here to save you some time. Yeah. And our verdict is No, yeah. Not really. No, not so much at all.
Nice try.
Yeah. So that. Okay. So we are going to wrap it up, and we will see you next time here on Guth and Hupi on Politics. In the meantime, in the week ahead, let us not get killed by an asteroid on Super Bowl Sunday.
I agree.
Who's your Super Bowl pick, Hupke?
Oh, God, it's an awful Super Bowl. I don't like either. I don't like the Eagles. I've never liked the Eagles because their fans are horrendous. And I say that because some of my very closest friends are Eagles fans. And then, of course, the Patriots bother me because Tom Brady made me the second most handsome man in America. And he's yet to relinquish that.
Well, so, there's that.
It's okay. A real conundrum.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for a tie.
I'm rooting for the asteroid at this point.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay, then. We'll see you next week on Guth and Hupke on Politics.